to another episode of the Hooligans Pitch, episode 98. It's Chad and Michael, and we're back. Chad, it has been a little while. Life has been a little crazy, but yes, we had to make the time to come together today because it's settled. Are the champions.
That's it. Well earned, well fought. I feel like one of the lowest scoring champions we've had in recent seasons. Not to, you know, discount anything, but
no discounts. No, it just, and I'm gonna say it, we've kind of known it was coming for so long. We've hit this point, and it felt, I don't want to say anticlimactic, because the day happened, Tottenham scores. We can get into that in a second, but definitely felt like okay, they're here to play a little bit. Let's figure this out. But we'll talk about the game. We'll talk about afterwards what's been going on with Liverpool. We'll jump into Arsenal. We'll do Champions League. Let's get into that. But first, pouring myself a little shot of Uncle Nearest Whiskey, Tennessee's finest. I only drink this on the specialist of occasions.
Here you go.
This is number two I've had of this bottle in 5 months.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I've been disciplined, and it's delicious. It is a sipping whiskey. We're not going to do too much of that right now. We're just going to go straight into it. So with that, a cheers to you.
Good. Well, I am joining you a little bit in Liverpool spirit. I went and got myself a Carlsberg.
Hell yeah. So. Excellent.
Cheers to another season done.
Another season, man. Yeah, we're not all the way done. There's still so much that's going to happen. But yeah, let me... I'm gonna get this going throughout the episode. It's
Sure.
I took a big sip, but then I got my... Might have shoots tropical fresh IPA.
Oof, a classic.
Oh, Chad, that feels good in my tummy. Let's talk about it. Arsenal in the midweek playing Palace. Mm-hmm. Liverpool was together that day. Middle of the week, it just didn't feel right winning it that way, personally. I think everyone kind of felt that way. You want to be able to celebrate on the pitch. As soon as it's over, you clinch the amount of points that you need. It was like a beautiful Sunday out in England, out here in Missouri. The sun was shining. It felt right that we almost had to, we went down 1-0. Mm-hmm. We were like, never a doubt in my mind that Tottenham was going to do anything special that game just because of, one, who they rolled out on that pitch wasn't pretty, right? And then it just took some time. But a 5-1 scoreline, it could have been 8. It could have been a very high-scoring game. It definitely, near the end there, you could tell things started to settle down on Liverpool's end. But it was just, as soon as that clock hit, the whistle blew. Dude, it was like bliss. It's a crazy, weird feeling to be like, we've been on it so much for these last 3 years with our teams, and to finally hit that like high moment. Pretty crazy, man. Pretty crazy. I told myself, which is just wild to think, like, I won't get emotional about this, because when we started this thing, it was right when we moved to Missouri, right? And now we're leaving here, and it's like weird closure almost. So like I was just like reflecting on what has happened in these 3 years, and like how crazy these 3 years have been, like what has happened, and like dude, it's just wild. It was wild to reflect in that moment, and then to see like Slot do the Klopp cheer. I was like, okay, like this is
it almost did it.
It was, I was like, this is enough for me. Like I cried last year when Klopp did this. I'm not gonna do it this year. But just a crazy good feeling, and yeah, man, couldn't be more happy to like do this with you for the last 3 years. It was a lot of like reminiscing on like this is episode 98. Like how crazy is that? Like the consistency. Now we've of course had busy lives and time zones make this difficult, but the amount of work that we've put in these last 3 years and like stayed on top of the game, and the only thing I could ask for was maybe a closer finish, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, the dream scenario, regardless of who would take the title, would have been that Liverpool-Arsenal game being the decider. Oh, that would have been crazy.
So close.
We tried, but you know, just the 13 draws this season for Arsenal were too much.
Yep.
but yeah, it was cool to watch. You know, the game kind of play out that way, because you could almost feel like this weird mix of just I think the positivity and the excitement, but then there was like a weird little hint of just like, you don't want to get ahead of yourselves. once the game started, like, and this is just from what, you know, TV cameras and mics can pick up, but like, I didn't feel like it was as, the crowd wasn't as, maybe like rambunctious as I thought they might be. Of course, that kind of came as like goals started flying and tearing Spurs apart. But it was cool to see. You know, it's like you said, if you're gonna win it, you'd rather be able to immediately celebrate and
do it at home,
and do it at home. Yeah, and you know, especially considering Liverpool's last chance to celebrate was in the weird COVID season.
Mm-hmm.
No one to really celebrate to, like, yeah, in July. It was you know, still a valid win, a valid trophy, but you know, I think this one probably feels a lot better for the players and even the fans, because there can be that connection there on the field immediately, and you know, singing songs to each other and all the good times that come with it. But yeah, it was cool. It was nice to see a good win against Tottenham be the deciding factor.
Holy crap, we'll get into them, but boy, are they terrible right now. And Liverpool didn't even play exceptionally good.
They had
their moments, which they broke through and kind of just, you know, dominated the final third and found their way into the net, but just the team that Tottenham threw out there, it felt so obvious that today was going to be the day.
Yeah, and I think it's probably hard for Slot in that game leading up to it to, you know, keep all the guys focused, because, you know, you basically just couldn't lose, right? And then you were good to go. So it's like, you don't necessarily want to coach that leading into this game. Or any game, you know, if it wasn't going to be this game. But like, you got to keep the guys motivated, but not like reassure them overly so that they're just like in cruise control. Which,
sure, no guarantees, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, but I mean, yeah, I said it in the Discord once Tottenham scored. I was like, well, there we go. Like, now Liverpool will wake up, because I think they did start a little bit disorganized, maybe it felt like. Mm-hmm. Maybe just everyone's, you know, excited and has some of those jitters of like being here at the end of it, but but I mean, I feel like that's been such a theme for Liverpool this season, of like, go down a goal and then like, oh, okay, yeah, kick it into gear, let's go.
Yeah and now it feels super strange. I mean, our season is done, yet the six or seven teams beneath us are still have to duke it out in this next month, and we just gonna sit and watch, which is like, you know, of course I would have loved to still be in the Champions League and still fighting, you know, to be in the final and possibly win it, but it's very bittersweet to like have the title before May and now just get to like sit back and see the chaos that happens beneath us.
Well, I mean, Liverpool gets to be in the fun position of, you know, maybe deciding a few positions here. Like,
no, ultimately get to decide what team we throw out in the next couple weeks against some teams that are fighting for top four.
Yeah.
Chelsea, Arsenal, Brighton, and I guess Palace is out of it. But those three right there are still fighting to get into Brighton's, like, they probably won't make top five, but they're close. They're not far out.
I mean, yeah, close enough that, especially considering what other results could be, like, they pretty much have to go for it. And, you know, I guess their hope would be that, yeah, Liverpool players have started their celebrations, you know, won't be at playing at 100%, because, you know, why would you? You don't want to get injured at this point and, you know, ruin the start of your next season or anything. But, yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how these games go. You know, I'm just looking ahead at Chelsea, I think is next for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chelsea will be big, because I mean, Chelsea's floating right on that edge of Europe for next season. You know, Arsenal, while in second, you know, it's only a 5-point gap to third and 6 to 4th right now. And, you know, so they still have to kind of keep on their game and get points from these games. They can't throw all the focus to just Champions League. And,
well, you know, I think Arsenal wants to stay tuned up, right?
Yeah.
They want to stay focused. They're going to play these games hard, no matter who they are going against, just to stay in the zone. So that's, I would expect Liverpool to throw out a, almost like a confidence boosting team for Arsenal. Not as like a favor, but just like, why we're not, I'd be shocked if we see Virgil or Mo play more than a half for the rest of the season. There's just no, like, why even risk it? Why?
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, if anything, like, you know, you have the title, but I don't think you want to go on like a 4-game losing streak to end the season, really.
No.
So I think it will be smart to, you know, keep Salah out there for, yeah, a half or an hour or whatever. You know, if he can extend his goal tally or assists this season, cool. But I think this is also one of those great opportunities to get players in that, you know, you don't get to see a lot, or try a different tactic here or there. And just, like, you're kind of given this free period that isn't, you know, straight out of preseason. So, like, guys are kind of in that game flow and just, like, I mean, end of season, yeah, so they'll be tired or not at 100%, but I think it's you know, it might be a game where we see the kickoff is the kick the ball straight into the air, because why not?
I expect to see a lot of Nunez these next 4 games.
Yeah.
A lot of Harvey Elliott. So.
Chiesa.
Bradley. Yeah, maybe. Kwanzaa. you know, guys that aren't typically playing starting to, you know, 0 to the full 90, especially Nunez. Yeah. Nunez could be a fascinating player to have, score a couple goals in these next 4 games, gets his price value back up. You might say, hey, like, you know, we could retain you. Things need to change. However, I don't know if you've seen the reports. If we play him, I think it is 3 more games. Benfica gets another 5 million. So that is on the table there of why he really hasn't been playing a whole lot.
It's not going to happen then. They're not going to hit that at this stage.
Yeah, it's just a silly thing to be holding back on personally, but it's, yeah, again, we get to experiment. I know you say we don't want to lose all 4 games. We can. It's not a good look, but
I think it would be the, like, the smallest little blemish on your season, but I mean, ultimately, yeah, it means nothing.
We don't get to lift the trophy until the last day, so we get to celebrate all over again.
Yep.
So that's super neat. And we get to do it at home, so that works out great too. I do find that a little strange, though, that you don't have to lift the trophy when you clinch the trophy.
I kind of get it. They're trying to make it like a, you know, truly end of season.
Yeah.
Okay, now officially there's...
We just held cardboard
trophies.
There's
no more point deductions that can come forward or anything.
True. But that would be wild. That would be wild.
You know, yeah. I think it would be nice if there was some thing for, like, the team to gather around and lift or get handed medals at that point or something. I don't know, but...
Yeah, I mean, walking around Anfield for what the hour that they did after the game, that was a pretty awesome celebration. So no, you know, nothing bad about that. That's for sure. Yeah, man, super stoked. I already looking forward to next year and what is to come. And apparently we're going to be spending a ton this summer to get number 21. So I have a little drink to that.
Yeah. I mean, you're retaining Van Dijk, retaining Salah. Trent is still a question mark, but can go either way, you know. But you still have, you know, a great team to move forward with. Like, your midfield is set. Defense, like, I think was mostly set. Trent's obviously the big question mark, and maybe Robertson, but, you know, Van Dijk, Konate, Allison, rock solid.
We didn't have Joe Gomez for half the season. People forget about him and how reliable he has really been.
Yeah.
This team shouldn't get weaker, which is crazy.
I don't think so, yeah.
Shouldn't get weaker. I think Mo Salah could fall off a little bit, which is where we need to find a goal-scoring modifier in there. You know, someone who can at least, you know, not keep up with Mo, but at least give him a little bit more support than what we have. Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating summer. I'd like to see who comes in. I'm sure we're going to see a couple departures that are, you know, going to be sad, but not the end of the world. Like, we're going to lose an Endo. I think that's just inevitable. I'd be curious to see if we're going to get, you know, a replacement for Trent or Robertson, their backup, split time, what's going to happen there. But everything else, man, our midfield now is, like, super locked in. I'd like a Gravenberch substitute there would be good, too, but he's young. He should keep coming along. I think just depth. We just need to keep the depth, right?
Yeah, and I think that's been, you know, such a talking point for so many teams. Just overall depth is, like, not only just having players, but having a good second string of players. Right. You know, ones that the coaches will want to use and want to, you know, ideally rotate with and not just wait for, you know, Saka gets injured and then, okay, well, now we're calling up, you know, a U21 player and putting faith in him. And, like, that works because we kind of lucked out, but, you know, it shouldn't have been that way. There should have been a replacement there ready to go. Yeah. Which I guess maybe was kind of supposed to be Sterling, but, you know, yeah, I think that was always a little bit of a risk.
We all question that pretty
heavily. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think for our last episode, when we do our season wrap-up, we do the five-year plan and kind of give our expectations on what we want within our 5 years and by the end of it, what we expect.
Yeah.
And I think ours will be similar in terms of...
Probably.
In terms of... you know, titles, but I'm curious to see what you'd like to see philosophy changes or managerial changes as time goes on, you know. I feel like we are teams that are probably set in our managers. I'd like to say Liverpool is probably a little more set just because we have a title with Slot now.
Sure.
And who knows if Arteta wins Champions League, though.
Dude, like, unleash a different beast.
Your expectations now go so much higher in terms of the domestic league, right? So it'll be a fascinating month, and I guess, let's see, season ends, is it March, or I'm sorry, May 25th is the last game? 26th?
Yeah, 25th.
25th. So we'll be able to do a pod before the Champions League final. And we'll know who's in the final by May 9th.
Oh, soon.
May 8th. May 7th.
Oh my gosh. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of thinking earlier, I guess before this Liverpool game, just funny how, like, I guess, as a fan, like, my season targets kind of move throughout the season, whereas, like, for the teams, you know, I think their targets are at least at the top end, like, yeah, you know, go for the title, try and get an FA Cup, try and get, you know, Champions League, whatever. For me, it's like, I think just because of how well Arsenal has been in the league, I was, like, pretty much purely league-focused in all my hopes and dreams, I guess. Whereas, like, Champions League for Arsenal in recent times has not been pretty. Then, you know, took a big breakout, came back, and has looked better. And obviously this season's going much better. But that was just kind of, like, out of sight, out of mind for me almost. and then here we are. And, like, you know, league was more or less wrapped up a couple weeks ago, if we're honest. And, you know, Champions League was getting progressively better. So then, like, all focus just purely shifted to those games, and, like, league games are just like, yeah, played good, didn't play so well, or you know, whatever. But I was just, I don't know, I was just thinking about that, and it kind of made me laugh of, like, that I didn't mean to ignore Champions League, but it just kind of I didn't feel like it was ever on the table, but here we are.
Things come when you least expect it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fascinating run they're on. I can't wait for that match tomorrow. Man, that'll just be a huge deciding factor in what's going to happen leg two, but you nervous?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I mean, probably about the same as going into the Madrid match. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've seen what this Arsenal team has done and can do, and certainly think they can take down PSG just as easily as they did Madrid. But then I've also seen, you know, PSG in their last handful of Champions League games, and you know, they, except for I guess maybe the last game against Villa, they look pretty good. You know, they have kind of a fire in them that I don't think I saw in any PSG team in the past few years, even, you know, when Mbappe and
so
Messi and all them were there. So,
yep.
I think it'll be a tough matchup. But I think it's just going to be like Arsenal's defensive stability that kind of has propped them up all season through all the injuries and everything. And, you know, I think that'll come into play here again.
I think it's pretty evenly matched, like on paper, mm-hmm. which is kind of crazy because, you know, in the Madrid leg, it felt like all the stars, all the power was on the Madrid side. And if you put them side by side, you're almost taking the entire Madrid 11.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And with PSG Arsenal, you can kind of pick and choose each side to make a starting 11, which makes it even more fascinating. Like, who would you argue is the best player in this matchup? I mean, we'll take out keepers because Donnarumma, I think, is kind of a beast, but like goalkeepers
crazy.
Are maybe not in it. But you know, Hakimi, I think is what I want to
give to PSG. That's a good shout. I mean, Dembele's been good in like recent months, so like he's been on great form. But then you know, Saka's like coming back to full fitness, and like when he's on it, he's scary.
Right.
So, like it's hard to pick out one. I think Hakimi's probably maybe the best shout just because he has been pretty consistent, I think, and you know, always seems to have an effect on the game, whereas you know, sometimes in the attacking side, like your Dembele's, your Saka's, whoever can either just get marked out of a game or just, mm-hmm. you know, don't find the influence on the game like they could. So, Hakimi, good. Otherwise, yeah, like, for Arsenal, like, I kind of go towards, I mean, I can't do Gabriel because he's out injured, but, like, Saliba has just been, like, such a rock all season. And he seems to like to turn up in these games that have, you know, a lot of meaning behind them, and especially being down his partner in Gabriel, I think he kind of took over some of that leadership back there that Definitely. Gabriel normally does.
Yep. I think Odegaard's the X factor for you guys. If he has a good series, I think you're going to be okay. I think Rice is going to, you know, his confidence is sky high right now. I think Mourinho is finding his place. Yeah, hell, even Martinelli is kind of finding his little groove, but it's like Odegaard has been that guy this year who felt like he hasn't been just himself.
Right? Yeah.
It's just been a little off. I swear, ever since that ankle injury, something psychological has not been the same with him.
Yeah, I saw, I forget where the article was, but it was something about Odegaard and that they didn't exactly say, but it sounded more or less like they've been kind of nursing an injury with him since that, which if he's, you know, been kind of playing through pain and you know, a low-grade injury for the most of the season, then it makes sense why he's not fully performing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think he obviously still has those moments in him, and if he's going to pick a day to, you know, really turn it back on, this would be the one to just you know, get the big early lead and, you know, kind of just do what we did against Madrid. And second leg's always going to be scary, whether it's home or away. And you know, if you can go into that with a good cushion, it always feels a lot nicer.
I mean, as crazy as it sounds, Arsenal essentially has, it feels wrong to say, but like no pressure, right? Like if they lose this matchup, okay, they made it to the semis and in the Champions yeah. League better than any English team did this year. Yeah. They've knocked off some really good teams in the Premier League. It's, you know, like you said, they never expected to be in this position. So it feels like they're playing a little more free, a little more, just not as, determined is not the right word, but just like, not like so tense, right? Mm-hmm. The Madrid game, they didn't look tense at all. Like, not even a little bit. And I think that plays into how they were so successful in those, in that matchup. You look at Madrid, look how tense they were. Yeah. Like, it was crazy. Vinny Jr. And Mbappe just not figuring out. And I could say the same thing about Liverpool and PSG. Look how tense Liverpool was that game. Look how free PSG was. So it's a pretty fascinating matchup. I don't know. Don't go to PKs. That's my only recommendation. I hope Arsenal takes it. Don't play for PKs. I swear, if you are at the 115th minute and you are chilling with the ball, getting ready to go to PKs,
you're done. Yeah, I don't want the PK stress. I mean, it would be such a bummer to have it come down to that. I mean, I think Arsenal has a lot of good PK takers, but it's just Donnarumma is such a crazy keeper as
he's
it
a
is,
freak.
And it's just such a toss up. You know, Saka takes great PKs, but he's missed a handful. You know, Odegaard's typically pretty good, but he's been a little bit off this season, so his PKs could be off. Like, it's just too much of a gamble to get to that point. So yeah, I'm hoping it doesn't even, not even a thought. Like, if we gotta wind down the game at the end, I hope it's because the aggregate score is just way in our favor, and you know, that's that.
I mean, I like your chances. I really do. I think it's, you know, not obviously it's not set up in your favor, but with PSG having such a new team to experience Champions League for the first time together and going this deep, and Arsenal has kind of had the same core for quite a while now, I think that's where that benefits you guys. It's just when PSG turns on the boosters, it's just a crazy hard team to defend. And they don't turn it on all the time. It can get a little scrappy back there for them, but I don't know. Ray has been on it. Saliba's on it. I think, you know, even when Liverpool lost, I think a lot of that was when Trent went down that we couldn't really get our stuff back together. Man, just Godspeed.
Yeah. It's, I'm glad it's the first day and I don't have to like wait a whole nother day of game to get this over with. But, I feel good. Like, beating Madrid, you know, certainly pumped a lot of confidence into how I feel about our chances.
Mm-hmm. Everyone perked up.
Yeah, I mean, it just went so well. And you know, we unlocked this Declan Rice free kick taker. And you know, it's just another weapon we can use. And, you know, one teams have to respect. So even if he's not hitting him like he did, it might leave someone else open or catch a defender off guard you know, crosses instead or whatever. But I'm feeling confident. Pretty typical, like cautiously optimistic that I go into games with. But I'm excited because, you know, league is done. So this is it. All the marbles right here in these two games. So
yep, Definitely. All right, back to Premier League, Chad. I think there's like three or four teams I think we should just do a quick little run through with. I'll give you the four that I want to talk about. If you want to add anything to it, I think we can. I think we could package Man United and Tottenham as one. And then I want to talk a little bit about Forest, just because of where they are and what they're doing. And then the Wolves.
The Wolves.
Look at all that green. I want to start with them. I kind of want to start with them.
All right, yeah.
All right, let's start with Wolves. So, beginning of the season, miserable, right? Mm-hmm. Miserable. And we both were lasered in on them. They were dead last. We looked at this schedule and said, easily the hardest schedule in the league. The second half of the year for them will be so much better. And what do you know? Six-game win streak, all of a sudden in 13th place. Okay, I had to change some Wolves fans' minds out here in Colombia, telling them, just be patient. It'll be okay. Yeah. Cunha is a big part of this. We can't deny that. Do the Wolves sell him?
I think they will. I don't think they should. But I think they will. Only because it seems like a lot of clubs are already kind of asking about him.
Do you want him?
I think. Thrown against the other names that have been connected to Arsenal, he's kind of at the lower end of my list, I think. But that's not to say, I've seen Man U on him, which... I don't know. Do you make a downgrade if you're him or stay?
Career killer.
But I think if they can convince him to stay at least one more season, they need to throw anything they can at him to make that happen. But I think as the player, he'll probably know that he was such a pivotal part of keeping this team up and ending with a fine season, right? That if, you know, a traditionally bigger team comes knocking, it might be better to jump ship and, you know, you can get paid more, whatever. But I hope he stays just to see what this Wolves team can actually do with, you know, this new coach is working. They'll make whatever signings they can. I think there's maybe more dead weight you can try and sell off. Like, you know, we were big on Hee Chan and I know he was injured for a while, but
yeah,
never really saw him again. You know, I think they started to finally kind of work things out, and I don't know. I'd like to see him stay. I don't think he will. I think kind of feel like if it's not Man U, I want like Forrest or someone to take him.
Ooh, he'd be interesting on Forrest.
Yeah.
I think he fits Liverpool pretty decently. I think he'd be cheaper than Isaac, and I think he'd do more of what we would need him to do with Salah there than what Isaac is doing with Newcastle. It's you know, we need someone to take pressure off of Salah, and I think Cunha can do that. I think Isaac is the perfect striker who can get fed the ball a lot, right? But Salah's not the type of player who's feeding balls to players, right? Salah wants to almost be the second striker. So that's where I see Cunha being kind of a striker one, striker two, and then have a drop-off left wing that could supplement that attack. Wolves will ask a lot, I think, from anyone in the top six right now for him. Forrest makes a lot of sense. I would love to see Forrest just throw down some cash for it. I have a weird feeling he's going to go to, like, Chelsea. Just saying. I have a weird feeling that Chelsea is just going to be like, look, another player, Brazilian forward. We should check that out.
Yeah. I could see it, you know. They'll throw money at it just because, you know, they think you have the largest roster and you automatically win. So
the Man United rumors I've seen, I just, and we can start to pivot towards the Man United Tottenham thing. I mean, they're so bad. What do you do as these two teams trying to even like fight back to top 10? Like, how do you convince players to come to your squad after this dumpster fire that you've put out this season? Your coach is openly saying, we are terrible. So if you go to this club and you perform bad, he's just going to be like, yep, he's so bad. That's crazy. Yeah. Like, publicly. You could say it in a locker room or, like, privately. Sure, or like, but...
I mean, Man U has to just be, and I think they have been, just relying on, you know, their successful history, right? And that is kind of the only stature they have and have had in recent years. But, you know, that was still done with better finishes than they'll see this season and, you know, managers that weren't so openly, like, critical of their team, I guess. I don't know. I mean... If, like, sticking with Cunha, I think if a United or Tottenham come in for you, like, I guess, you know, by seasons past, those two teams are bigger and generally better than Wolves. So it should be, like, a step up, but I would hope these players also take a look at, you know, these teams and how they've been playing this season or performing, or just like, because I feel like if we as fans can kind of feel a general trajectory of clubs, like, players must, once they like actually pay attention to another club, must feel it even more so because they're in it, they're on the field day in day out and can kind of maybe see the cracks easier than we can. But yeah, I don't know, to circle back of like, what do you do? How do you fix this? If you're United, I think you're kind of bought in on, you know, you're not sacking the manager regardless of how this season ends. Mm-hmm. So you give him the summer to make whatever signings and sell whoever. But I think he's got a pretty short leash of how long into the new season you keep him. Like, this was a terrible, one of the worst seasons for United, and you can't start next season looking this way. Like, if he goes in the next season and you know, just off their last five games here, 3 losses, 2 draws. If that's your opening 5 games for next season, I wouldn't be surprised if they let him go early, because you can't get back into the cycle and do this again.
You say that, and it was almost their first 5 games this season.
Was it really?
It was close. Two losses, 2 wins, and a draw. But
yeah, but
their next,
like,
five,
you know,
after look like that.
With Ten Hag, it was already kind of a... Mm-hmm. A rocky relationship. So, you know, if you're not gonna be like the Wolves here and like at least kind of end the season on a high,
yep,
you for sure have to start next season on a high, because if I'm a fan or opposing club or you know, commentator, and I see United starts next season with, you know, no win in the first 3, 4, now 5. Like, it's just going to be all the shit thrown at you again. And, you know, club doesn't want that for their own PR. You don't want the players to get down that early, you know.
Well, I imagine all the Manchester United legends are just embarrassed by what is being, you know, thrown out there. Seeing Liverpool this weekend and seeing them win the title and seeing all the former players in the stands, like, seeing how proud they were. It makes me almost do a flashback to Old Trafford and the rats running through the ceilings with Beckham looking on going like, God damn.
Yeah.
Like, holy. I mean, Chad, let's be honest. Man United could finish last in this table and be the only team who, you know, finishes 17th and just out of relegation, right? I think they're destined for that. They shouldn't have even gotten a point this weekend. They got bailed out, red card for Bournemouth, and then last minute goal. They should realistically be in 16th place. I guess it would be 15th place.
It's so bad. Yeah, looking ahead to their games, they got Brentford away next.
Lost.
A big game at home against West Ham.
That could be spicy.
Yeah. And then they got Chelsea and Villa to end it out. So,
lose. Those other teams are playing for shit.
Yeah, exactly. So you're not far off of you know, I think the West Ham is maybe the only question mark in there. Like, Brentford, I guess, is maybe a little bit of a question mark, depending, like, what Brentford shows up. But I don't feel confident in any of those being a win, like, comfortably, at least.
Wild times. Bruno's got to be. That's the thing. Like, does Bruno want to be there next year? I imagine there's some players there of quality. They're like, nah, like this isn't gonna work.
Well, there were those rumors a couple months ago that they're gonna have to do like a fire sale in the summer to, you know, drum up some money and pay off some debts or whatever. So if that's true, it could almost be a good thing for United if they can, you know, get enough players out and bring in some money and kind of do a little bit of a refresh. But you know, if the players you're having to sell are, you know, your more promising ones in Maynou or, you know, even Garnacho or, you know, if someone comes in for Bruno, be it a PSG or someone, like, I think that could turn his head. You know, you see, as much as I don't really care for him, like, you see that he hates to lose these games. He hates that this team is not performing at the level that he believes they should. That's not to say that he's out there trying to, you know, rally his teammates to get something going. He's often a little bit sulking in the corner, but, you know, I can see the pain on his face, and I think if you give him an out to a team that's, if not in Europe, at least further up the table consistently, or at least in recent seasons, he could take it.
I think only in 2020-21, Man United finished second in the table, and that was the only quality roster that Bruno has seen with Man United. And I don't think he's washed. I still think if you put him on a solid team, he's going to be probably one of their best players. It's just
throw him to Forest.
I mean, it would be fascinating to see him on Forest, but to look at that team from 2020, 2021, it's a fascinating roster sheet because you see the likes of Cavani, Pogba, Jesse Lingard. That was Lingard's like pop-off season. You know, there's a lot of players in there who had these kind of one-off seasons, and then, you know, they all kind of split or left or got washed. And I don't know. I've never been a big Bruno fan, but I do think I would be more of a fan of his if he was on a quality team.
Yeah. I mean, the times you see him play and, like, he's on it, he's a good player. You know, he's maybe a little bit too emotional for what I like in a player, but
same.
He's got the skill and drive to be on a good team. And I think he joined a United team that certainly wasn't the best, but wasn't terrible by any means. And I think, you know, you went through the Ten Hag phase and, you know, now Amorim was kind of heralded to be, you know, a return to form here. And I don't know. You can't tell me it's it's all going to change over summer when he can bring in a handful of players. Like, I don't know anything of, you know, I haven't read anything that Bruno's looking to leave, but I think if you are a team in Europe or, you know, think you can offer a new home to Bruno, you throw something out there. I wouldn't be surprised if he at least, you know, picks up the phone and talks to you.
Crystal Palace, make a move.
There you go.
I just think Palace is more set up than Man United is right now. Yeah. They got a number 9. They control Eze. You have a decent back line right now. Palace is my dark horse to make top 5 next year.
They're in the FA Cup final. So.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, if you get Mateta for a whole healthy season and he actually shows up for the first 3 months, my prediction for them is high. All right. Nottingham Forest, Chad. They've been sitting third all year. They're in sixth.
They're
a game back. They could win on Thursday and then jump right back up to third. Mm-hmm. Are you worried for their top 5 ending for the season? Let me read you who they got left. They got Brentford, Crystal Palace, Leicester, West Ham, Chelsea.
I don't know if I'm worried too much for their top 5, but they certainly can't like go cruise control. They gotta stay focused, grab these points where they can. Like, I think they can beat Brentford. Certainly they can beat Leicester. I'd say they should beat West Ham as well. Yep. You know, I think your only tough one would maybe be Chelsea, and that, you know, brings the emotion of the final day and wherever the table may fall then. But Palace could be a tough one. I think, you know, Palace is in 12th. They love 12th, right? So they're kind of chilling in the league, but they're going to want to keep the good form leading up to FA Cup final. So that one could be a doozy, but, you know, I think they should be okay. They just can't get in their heads too much, and you know, they got to do what players and coaches always say in every single interview of like, oh, we're just taking it one game at a time.
Yeah,
and that's all you got to do here. You don't want to jump ahead. You don't want to do anything crazy. Just, you know, get your goals, take the points, and move on.
Yeah, their 2 losses in a row set them back a little bit. The Everton one, I think, hurts the most considering the timing of it, just being as last minute as possible. It's come down, I guess, their goal scoring as of late, right? They just haven't really been thumping the back of the net. I mean, it was how many games ago? 6 games or so? Oh, God. Time has flown by, Chad. It was February 1st when they scored 7 against Brighton.
Yes.
Felt like yesterday, let's be honest.
Sure did.
That's crazy. I mean, they've kind of, I don't know, it's like after they spent a lot of time on those goals, and then everything else has just been kind of one or none. And I know part of that was Chris Wood not being around too much.
Yeah.
So hoping he can get back to full fitness. I think he scored in his last game. He did. So, you know, the more he's in there, the better your success is. I mean, he's about to get 20 goals. He'll get 20 goals in the season. That's inevitable. It's the next man up, though. Alanga with 6. Hudson-Odoi with 5. Gibbs White with 5. Hell, your center back Milenkovic has 4. Right? that rounds out your top 5 goal scorers. There's a problem there. And Wood can't do it all.
No, yeah. I think that's exactly it. Is, you know, Wood has been on such a tear this season that when he was out or just having the off game, that's when you need someone to really step up. And I think, you know, yeah, some people kind of found their moments too, but there was just no one consistently to be like, all right, you know, Wood's having an off game, let me take over, sort of thing. That just never really happened.
That's, I mean, that's going to be what they need to figure out this summer too, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, their wingers are quality. They're just not stars, right? They've been the backups. Mm-hmm. They've tried to be stars at the respected clubs prior to this. Went to Forest, have played great in their roles. But you need more if you want to be that top four team, top five team, and go, mm-hmm. you know, the distance in Europe. We kind of saw it with Leicester, right? When they made top four, and it was like, they have quality players, but it was like after they, you know, obviously that title was crazy. It's like nothing really changed with their squad. They had Mahrez, right? And Vardy, and that was kind of it. You know, they sold a couple guys here and there, but that was, it's like, if you want to retain top four and stay there, you got to keep picking up these players and keep it going. Yeah. You know, I always wonder if Leicester kicks themselves for, like, you know, I get it. You want to stay loyal to those guys that win the title, right? But to not sell one and, like, get a couple of youngsters back who have the quality, it's like, and now, you know, look at Leicester now. How many years later? Eight or nine. And all of a sudden they're back in the championship again.
Yeah. I think it's a hard balance. You know, I think Forest has shown they're willing to spend money.
True. They got Greek money.
Sometimes, a little too freely maybe and bring in like way too many players. But, mm-hmm. You know, I think in the last few windows, they've at least been more concentrated on what they're trying to do. So I think if they can at least, I think they'll make top five of it. I think they'll make Champions League. But at the very least, don't drop out of Europe completely. I think they can, you know, make the right signings to at least be competing up at the top end again next season.
Does City retain top five?
Oh,
their fixtures, man, are... I would say the Wolves are going to give them a little run for their money this weekend, but they round out with Southampton, Bournemouth, Fulham. So, like, Bournemouth could bring it. They could. Fulham at the end of the season, playing where they are on the table, maybe. If Fulham goes on a run, though, and they win their next three, that puts them at 60.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting finish, man. These teams from 9 to 3 are in a weird spot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking ahead at, you know, Chelsea's schedule too, and even they certainly don't have an easy run in. They got Liverpool.
They're lucky Newcastle. They play Liverpool.
Yeah. That might be their saving grace if it comes down to, mm-hmm. you know, one game worth of points, but they got Newcastle, Man U, and
if Man U has any pride, they'll show up for that game.
Forest.
And then Forest.
Forest
so that's,
in the last
that's like
game.
A must win for Forest.
Yeah. Yeah, so
it's going to be a spicy ending. It just because the title is won, it doesn't make this not a photo finish for some of these clubs, man. It's going to be weird.
Yeah.
There's going to be some drama left on that final day.
A lot left to go on here. Wow. I didn't realize that it kind of worked out that so many of these teams have to play each other in these last four games still. So can be some big shifts there. But I want Forest to stay in.
Same.
I'd like Man City just to drop out, but I think they might be okay.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, like you said, Bournemouth, I think, will bring it. Wolves, I think, will bring it and at the very least make it very difficult for City to get anything done. Fulham is the question mark. Like,
yep.
All season, it's like two completely different teams that could show up, and hopefully the better one shows up.
Four more weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, but Tottenham, we kind of blew past them, but what are they doing?
Who's their leading goal scorer right now? Name them.
Oh my gosh. If I had to guess, leading goal scorer for Tottenham Hotspurs. I want to say Brennan Johnson.
Correct.
Oh.
Do you think he has double-digit goals?
No, I'm feeling like 7.
A little better than that. Wow, you think their leading goal scorer has 7? That's pretty bad. Yeah, that's pretty bad. He has 11.
Okay. All right.
You know what? Surprisingly, though, their top 5 goal scorers are all within the same kind of range. If they had one guy who had like 20 goals, I would say this team is doing pretty decent, right? You got Johnson with 11, Madison with 9. Like
a Harry Kane.
Yep. Sadly, a Harry Kane. I mean, Son with a 7-goal, 9-assist season is not great. No. You pair that up with someone who is scoring 20 goals, that assist rate goes up a ton, right? It's like the numbers across the board go up. Solanke might earn flop of the year.
Yeah.
It sucks because we kind of like, I won't say we knew it, but is he kicking himself? He's not with Bournemouth right now? Probably. Probably.
I mean, yeah, I think... I mean, I know he was injured for a bit, but, like, I felt like he was close enough to that Harry Kane mold that he should have been able to find a partnership with Son at least somewhat. And it feels like any time I've seen them both on the pitch together, it just...
didn't work.
Nothing's there.
No chemistry.
Yeah.
So unlike Man United, where Man United could show the history and the marketing and the legends that have played for them... Tottenham doesn't have any of that.
No.
Now, they have some young, nice pieces, I will say. Pedro Porro, nice. Young Udogie, nice and young. Mm-hmm. After that, it falls off a ton. Matthias Tell, I think he's going to be okay. Vicario, your keeper, I think he's pretty solid too. But after that, it's dark.
Yeah. I mean, I think if they go into next season having just won Europa League, that could be the pull.
Because that gets them in the Champions League, right?
Yeah, but if they don't win that, it's pretty much all but official that Ainge is leaving. It sounds like win or lose Europa, he's leaving.
Are we going to get a Man United Tottenham final? 16th and 17th place.
It's going to be the worst match we've ever seen. But
getting into Champions League off that.
Jesus. it could very well be that. But I don't know for Tottenham. Like, I know a lot of the excuse has been their injury history this season, and that while I think a valid excuse, like I've said before, does not excuse you trying to play the same tactic over and over and over again when you no longer have those pieces. Even just using Arsenal, like Arsenal's lost a lot of key players through injury for significant portions of this season. And, style of play is adjusted here or there, but they're still up there in second. I think with a full healthy squad like Arsenal had for most of the past two seasons, I don't think title's decided yet, I think it is injuries, but it is also being able to adjust to the players you have. And when you're playing, what's his name, like Archie Gray or something, he was playing almost every game like out of position because they needed a player, which is fine, but like you gotta adjust your play then. You can't still be doing this high line and trusting this not only young kid with minimal professional level experience, but now playing out of position, still in a new team to him, still new tactics to him. It just was not the right, you know, tactics and mindset to move forward with the season. Granted, you're still, you know, in Europa League contention, so it's going okay there.
I mean, the biggest plus Tottenham has is they're playing a Norwegian team whose domestic season just started, right?
Okay, yeah.
Their domestic season, they're 4 games in. So it's an interesting setup here. On the Man United side, they're playing Athletic Club, and they're 4th in La Liga. Mm. So, fingers crossed, Athletic Club goes all the way with this thing and
please,
destroys these two teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tottenham might just need to take a year or two or whatever and just kind of continue what they've been doing by signing, you know, promising young players.
Yep.
You know, you're almost taking like the Chelsea route, just not all in one season, because while Chelsea found some creative accounting to quote unquote afford that, you know, I don't think Tottenham has that at their disposal anyway. But, you know, because, yeah, you're signing good young players. I think, yeah, just tactically and just your manager kind of let you down this season. You didn't need to be this bad. I think you could have, you know, at least survived kind of mid-table at worst, but if you're just going to open the back door for all these teams to run through you, you're going to get beat. And, you know, you even see when Van de Ven comes back, like, they almost, I don't know if he's re-injured now, but I know he didn't play last game. But, you know, you're almost asking him to get re-injured because they play that high line and just like, well, you're quick, you can run back, but like, that's exactly what he's been doing all season and exactly where he's had, I think, 2 or 3 hamstring injuries this season alone. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what manager you go for now. You've tried the, you know, the big names, the Mourinho's and Conte's. You've tried the promising, you know, coach from a up and coming team and Nuno. You've tried, you know, this Ange is big and did well with Celtic and came here. First season started great. Looks like you finally found it. And then this season, just the wheels completely fall off. You know, I've seen rumors, I guess, that they want to try and get the manager away from Bournemouth. I think that would be a terrible move for him. Bournemouth is cooking.
Why? Yeah, you're doing great. You know, Raiola.
Yeah.
He's doing amazing at Bournemouth.
You're doing great there. Like, I don't know. I guess you could maybe throw more money at him than Bournemouth can. But, like, I think once you get to the managerial level, while, yes, you probably are trying to move up to bigger and better teams and more funds available, Bournemouth feels like the more promising and more fun project right now.
I got a name for you, Chad, and when it gets picked, I want you to remember this in your brain that it was said today. Steve Cooper.
No.
Doesn't he just fit? He's like the perfect Tottenham manager. It just isn't going to happen.
He is, but
it's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen, Chad. They're going to keep the same position in the standings, and guess who they bring in? Sean Dyche. It's writing on the walls here.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, I'm maybe not so serious on the Sean Dyche, but I do think Steve Cooper is going to find his way back into the Premier League somehow, some way, and the team who's going to be probably desperate is Tottenham, because no one wants to go to Tottenham right now.
Yeah.
And Steve Cooper's going to say, I'm in the pub, come get me.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the guy they need, but he's certainly going to be available. So it could happen. I mean, I don't know where you go from here. Like, you're not going to pry away Areola from Bournemouth. You're not going to pry away Frank from Brentford. I think the other one I saw thrown out there, I don't know his name, but the manager at Fulham, I think he's probably chilling there because, like,
it's not
you know, Fulham is doing fine. You know, I'd say good by their standards of recent times, and it's just, I don't know. It takes a special person to see the mess that is Tottenham currently and want to walk in there and, you know, try and fix it or even like find a way through it. So I don't know. We'll see. Steve Cooper to the rescue maybe, or,
well, rescue is a strong word.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You know, Son's getting older. I don't know that. I think he'll still be able to be good. I think this season is just bad because Tottenham's been bad all year. Yep. But, you know, I think certainly he's could be like a Bruno sort of thing where, like, yeah, he kind of committed to stay when Kane left, but I don't think he imagined it going so poorly. So, say a Forest says, hey, son, you want to come play with us?
Interesting. Interesting.
I don't mean to keep using Forest, but I think they're just, they are kind of that team where, like, a lot of positions can be upgraded still.
Aging stars going there makes a lot of sense. Because yeah. It's because you have good backups, too. So,
yeah.
Lewandowski, what you thinking?
Wow, that'd be
no,
crazy.
There's no way. He's not leaving Barcelona. There's no way.
Yeah, so I don't know. I like to poke through the Tottenham subreddit and see their
I need to learn that. It sounds awesome. I need to do that more.
Yeah, you know, at this point, they're all pretty much resigned to just putting all their hopes and dreams into that Europa League final.
Bloom.
Still got to get there, but, you know, it's not pretty over there currently. It's a lot of people that were like, I was Ange in, but now I'm Ange out, and here's why.
Yeah. Took them a minute, but they got there.
Yeah.
All right, Chad, I think we nailed it today. I do want to end with probably the funniest thing an Everton fan has ever done, ever. They took 1,000 red flares and took the label off of them and stuck them to 1,000 blue flares and put them for sale, and Liverpool fans ate it up, and just seeing the blue smoke in the crowd of red smoke was, come on, man. That's a great prank. You got to give it to that, whoever that person was, because you know this took a lot of time to plan, and they did this months ago.
Yeah.
And just all the credit to him. That's like almost meme of the year for me.
I mean, that's good. It's like you said, the forethought and the hard work to go in and do that. And
it's harmless, you know, right?
It's harmless. And to be able to like sell these flares off with a straight face, knowing what's about to come, is just incredible work. Yeah. Well done. You know, it's great to see. While, you know, Everton's kind of been in the dumps the past few years compared to where Liverpool's been,
yep,
they can still have that rivalry and you know, find a way to have a go at each other.
And now it's going to become a thing, right? People are going to be looking at their flares or stuff. Yeah, it's going to be a, I don't know how you protect it. You got to have like sealed caps on them or something to make sure it hasn't been tampered with. I just thought that was so funny.
Yeah, it was really good.
And then one last rumor, Mourinho to Leeds has been circulating. Whoa. I think it would be awesome to bring Mourinho back into the Premier League with a newly promoted club. Like, I don't want to say we need it, but welcome. Come on in.
I'm ready for more Mourinho hijinks.
I've missed him a lot.
Yeah.
And I really hope it happens. Yeah, newly promoted Leeds 6 hours ago have their eyes on former Manchester United manager Jose Mourinho.
Oh, man. Please, do it.
It could happen. It could happen. It makes sense. It makes sense. You want it? Got those relegated teams. I should say newly promoted teams need to stay up. They got to find a way to do it. They have to. Yes. I'm rooting for all of them this season.
Oh yeah.
To find a way. Let's shift the narrative here. Let's see what happens with Tottenham, Man United. I mean, they're so lucky. This was a historically bad year for the bottom three. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen next year.
Yeah.
All right, Chad, you got anything more to say?
No, I think I'm good.
I think we nailed it. Hour 10 in, episode 98. Liverpool are the champs.
Congratulations,
We're going to do it again.
Keep it rolling.
Keep it going. All right, Chad, good talk. We'll talk later. Always. Hooligans out.
Yes. Peace.